Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Actually, you know, this is something that maybe you and I share a responsibility with too.
Oh yeah.
Where we have bigger accounts. I can hype up Legler stuff if I like Legler stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I muted Stephen A. Smith as a term on Twitter was so that I don't react to it. So I don't respond to it. You will not see me sharing their videos and stuff like that, because to my 30,000 and maybe like 13,000 of actual followers that I have, and the rest being bots. But to those people who do follow me and do interact with me, I don't want to share that nonsense. Mm-hmm. So like, I do think there's a bit of a responsibility that the audience and we play here. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think the best thing that you can do is support the people that you do believe in, that do provide the type of coverage that you want. You vote with your views, with your eyes and all that. And there's always going to be a level of interest and desire for the salacious stuff, the stuff that makes you go, oh, they got in a fight, right? And all. And yeah. I don't like pitting it as sort of like a Legler versus that type of thing, because a couple of things. I think there are a dozen different ways to cover basketball in an entertaining way, of which the hardcore film breakdowns are one, but they're just one. It's not all of this has to be a super serious, you know, but what it has to be is popular, right? Like, one thing that people would always say, when I was on Twitter and I was first starting out, is there was always this like, oh, well, that is what people want. People don't want all of these. It's like, well, my stuff's getting a lot of traction. I'm getting a lot of followers. There's obviously a great appetite and desire for this type of coverage, but it requires a certain level of like short-term versus long-term investment that I think that ESPN and institutions like
that's a great point. Yeah.
They have a hard time sort of like building up a long-term type of setting like that for somebody who does that type of breakdown.
They don't like long-term return, right?
Yeah.
They aren't really into the Roth IRAs out there, you know. They're more interested in the GameStop type of return.
Yeah.
But look, as evidenced by the market, sometimes you get burned that way, mm-hmm. you know? And I think their NFL content, I think the NFL is like a perfectly packaged sport. You know, it is 17 one-game sample sizes over the course of a season, and then you have event after event after event after event, and then the biggest fucking event, you know, the Super Bowl. So I think, you know, it has its advantages too, but I think also the way that it's covered and the way that they trust their audience is part of why the NFL has just grown and grown and grown and grown. And I think you compare that to the way that the NBA has kind of spun their wheels in the mud over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever. And I think there's a line to be connected there.
How much of that is the difference in emphasis of promoting your teams versus your star players? Because that's a key strategic difference between how the NBA and NFL really tries to promote their sports. NBA much more so. There are a couple of premier teams, of which the Lakers are one, that'll get that, but it's far more player focused. And I feel like in the NFL, nobody goes like, oh, this is a small market matchup between these two teams in the conference championship. No one cares. It's two good-ass teams, right? Whereas in the NBA, there's sort of the hand-wringing over that. And then the way that manifests itself on the morning shows and the way that it's covered, it becomes all of this LeBron versus Steph, LeBron versus MJ for the billionth time in a row, that they stop, like, it becomes more bankable to do that than the long-term investment of the younger star that isn't going to get as good of ratings in today's episode, but they're going to be in the league 5 years from now and still a star. That, yeah, there's just like that lack of long-term investment. But I'm curious your thoughts on just like the investment in players versus
team versus star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it plays a role, but I think there's a way that you can kind of bridge that, you know, and get the best of both worlds there, where, because it is a real strength beat that we get to watch NBA players. We can see the emotion on their faces. It's like they're basically wearing pajamas in front of us, you know, and like we get to see, like, one of my favorite things to note. And it's funny, the guys that actually I think we see this the most often with are kickers in the NFL, because every time a team is like driving with a couple minutes to go, either in the half or in the game, they always pan to the kicker.
It's kicking into the net and all
that. Yeah, it's kicking into the net, or they're like watching the game. And I'm always like, if they're kicking into the net, I have a pretty good feeling that you know, that kicker kind of knows what he's trying to do there. But if I look over there and they show the kicker and he's not quite kicking yet, I'm like, oh, dude. How do I live bet against this kicker on, you know, whatever he goes? And but like that, we get that, Pete, with every play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. We get that. Somebody steps to the free throw line. You watch Giannis play a game, and the first free throws that he takes in that game, you're going to know what kind of game he's going to have there. Mm-hmm. Or at least it was like that a few years ago, where he stepped to the line. And if he took like the 12 seconds that he would sometimes take and then he bricked it, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, he's not driving today. The Lakers got a shot against him today, you know? But those are things that like you don't really get. So I think you have to find a way to lean into that.
Yes. Yes.
But where I think the NBA, a trend that they needed to nip in the bud a lot sooner, and they never really did, was this notion of getting the extension with the intent to be to immediately ask for a trade. So like I remember when I was growing up, if a player wanted to leave, they would be a free agent and they would sign as a free agent somewhere else. And that was perfectly fine to me, because now it's kind of tough because you technically sign your contract with the NBA. You don't sign your contract with the league. You're a contractor in the NBA. So If people are going to call me out on this, they can call me out on this. But right, like when NBA stars started signing these supermax extensions with the intent to ask out within the next year, that's when I thought things were going to go, you know, a little squiggly.
You've got to provide a way for them to leave, though, Anthony. If like they've basically legislated free agency out, where they financially incentivized you, so it's like, what, you don't get to pick the team you're drafted on. You've got restricted free agency, which is ridiculous setup from a player perspective, right? They basically
it's an oxymoron. It's
and unfree about it.
Right? Free agency, restricted and free is an oxymoron. You're right.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing
and Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So they've got you for 7 years, and then they put this, if you're any good, they put this huge financial incentive in place to stay with a team. Like, when are you going to actually be able to pick? You got to give the players the right to pick where they want to work.
Oh, I agree. At some point, I don't like the extension policies. Like, right. This isn't me blaming the players for this. I'm blaming, because what they've tried to do is they've tried to legislate parity. And I just don't think there's a way that you can do that in a sport where you have five guys on the court.
We've had seven different champs, 7 years in a row.
It's just impossible, huh?
I mean, they've done okay this decade. They've had, what's that, 6-7 years in a row
repeat? Some of it was, you know, you had the COVID, you know, the Lakers won the championship in COVID, and then they started the next season like 3 business days later, you know? So it was like, you know, I think that might have played a role in the Lakers being a little tired by the time they got to the playoffs there.
Sure.
I do think that this CBA is kind of evening things out a little bit. And I think a lot of it is like me just kind of getting used to this new world that we live in. But getting here was rough because you did have a lot of these situations here where it's a lot more, it draws a lot more traffic. Talking about one of 82, you know, when you're talking about a regular season game, talking about that game, you and I hosted Locked On Lakers together. And one of the things that some of the advice that I would sometimes give to new hosts when they were coming onto the network was like, look, you're going to talk about the game, but you also got to try to make your content somewhat evergreen. So you're going to talk about the game, but try to link it to some longer form narratives that you track over the course of a season, because otherwise nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to go back and listen to your show there. And so, like, what essentially has happened is as ESPN has kind of learned, and as blog sites and as our shows and stuff like that have kind of learned, is, well, it's a lot easier to talk about how this game impacts so-and-so's trade standing than it is to talk about that game. And I'm guilty of it too. So I'm not on a really, really high horse here. I don't think a horse wants to carry me on its back. But, like, if it comes down to what is easiest to talk about, that's where things are going to go as well. So I think you combine the way that the player empowerment era, like the movement that came about during the player empowerment, I'm not blaming the player empowerment era. I'm saying that the way that player movement happened through this player empowerment era, you combine that with everybody taking the easiest way out in terms of trying to get themselves the most clicks. And you arrive here at a place where, yeah, you know, nobody really talks about the basketball anymore. And it's been really interesting to see the success of your show, Caitlin Cooper's.
That's the thing is, Nikias, there's a market for this, Anthony. It just takes a little bit more time, but it's not like, oh, we've landed at this spot because there's nobody that wants this. There are actually a ton of people.
Oh, there totally are. Although, do you think it would be the same desire for it from a platform like ESPN as there are from like independent? Like, because our successes, it's all relative, right? So your show, my show, we can do plenty fine for ourselves with 200,000 downloads a month that we generate for ourselves, right? And the more, the better.
Yeah, they're a whole different
ESPN ball. Can't define their success with 200,000 downloads a month.
That's precisely why they can't change. You can't, after an institution gets to a certain size and level of being entrenched, they cannot fundamentally change into something other than what they are. And they become so, this is part of the point that I was making about everybody's a content creator now, and that there's a ton of pressure on those institutions. Think of their overhead compared to our overhead, what it costs to put on a show, right? They've got all of these salaries, these physical locations, sending people out to different locations all over the country, all over the world, that, yeah, they've got to be able to keep the lights on and produce. And so they have to land on these different strategies that it's like, we know there's not a lot of space for experimentation and like, ah, that didn't really work, but we tried 10 things, 8 of them failed, but one of them was really good. One of them has potential. They don't really have a framework that's set up like that. So it is supposed to actually pop up from our world and that type of thing. And then, but what I think we've seen has also been an incorporation into like there are way more film room type of segments and that type of stuff.
Do you get royalties from those film room?
I don't. I actually had an opportunity at one point to franchise that idea and all of that. And I actually don't want the last thing you hear when you listen to my pod before I say what's up, Laker fans, is you don't have to do things for money anymore. Correct. Right. It's sort of like part
of that Shaq, right?
Oh, Shaq. Shaq. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he was saying that because he has more money than God at that point and didn't need it. But yeah, that's the last thing you hear on my pod in part.
Super ironic, though, because he has done every commercial under God.
Yeah. He'll endorse anything, right? He's like, I don't have to, but I sure want to.
Sorry.
No, and so that's sort of like an ethos that I have, right, is that there are certain things that it's like there's value outside of financial value, and there's value sort of kicking a hole in the sky and allowing a space for everybody else to pour through. And, you know, that was always the argument against the nerds and all that. Like, oh, yeah, maybe you and your five nerdy basketball friends want to watch this, but nobody else does. But when I started growing my account and started getting real traction on it, other ones started popping up because it was like, oh, this is actually a viable idea. So it's a good point that shows like mine, Nikias, Caitlin, all of that, like that is the proper space for it to rise up rather than an ESPN. And then once it's nice and polished, places like ESPN can sort of copy the idea or apply it to what they do.
What's funny, though, is they could just copy themselves. They have an NFL show that is super nerdy. Mm-hmm. They have Mina on there, and they have Orlovsky, right? Who
they don't think
and Ryan Clark.
They don't think people like basketball that way, Anthony. They don't view NBA fans as being like that.
I would disagree, but so like but yeah, like this is the thing, though, that drives me nuts is that like you've had, because they used to have a show really late at night. Gosh, what was it called? It might still be, but it was with the running back who got in trouble because he wrote a whole book that said CTE was a hoax. But like they had, it was him and Ron Jaworski. Help me out, somebody in the chat. Mm-hmm. Like whatever that show was, it was always late at night. And I used to love. I didn't play football. I can throw a spiral pretty well. My mom didn't let me play football because it was dangerous. And it turns out she was right. And but even still, like I just love sports and I love the competition of sports. I love the intricacies of a sport. And you know, I used to love sitting up there. It would air super late at night, and they would go super nerdy on like why hitting the A gap here mattered rather than the B, mm-hmm. and what the running back did to set up the A gap here when he was getting the ball. It was so mm-hmm. awesome, and I loved that stuff. And the thing is, like, we never had that within the NBA, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like. I guess I get kind of frustrated because it's a chicken and egg argument where they've killed the chicken. Like, we don't know. We don't know. Like, you can't tell me that the audience doesn't like this and then say, well, it doesn't trap. Like, it doesn't work that way. It's mm-hmm. you know, I could make another analogy here that maybe we'll make on your show eventually, your political show eventually. But it's like you can't like strip this thing down and then say it doesn't work and then you know use that as an excuse to not want to fund the thing, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what we see here with ESPN and TNT. I think is like this too, or Turner was like this too, and Turner got kicked to the curb. They were like, all right, enough of this. And I'm really curious to see. I bet this isn't sourced or anything like this, but I bet they're gonna nerd out on Amazon stuff, and I bet they're gonna nerd out on NBC stuff.
Evening, buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started. Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No, no buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
And I think the NBA is going to slowly kind of try to distance itself from ESPN's brand of coverage, which is really too bad because I do truly like, you know, I really like the Hoop Collective pod. You know, I've grown, I'm biased here because I've developed a friendship with Tim and with Bontemps and with Windhorse over the years. I really like Legler's stuff. He does a show with my buddy Adam that I think is really, really good too. And we're going to see, I think he's going to be on their main calls. He's going to be on that team coming up. So we'll see how well he does there. But I don't want to paint all of ESPN a certain way, but it's ironic, Pete, because, you know, Stephen A. Smith, he always talks about how homogenized the NBA has become and how everything is about the three-pointer and everything is about this and everything is about analytics and stuff like this. When he's covering the NBA and ESPN is covering the NBA in a very homogenized manner, it's the exact thing that he's criticizing the NBA for becoming. He is that at ESPN.
That's absolutely it. He's on his phone during live action and finals games. I mean, like, he's got his whole formula that he likes, but there's a whole, in terms of analyzing a sport, right? Like, there's a whole, across all sorts of other sports, really diving into the sport that's been embraced by the main parts of it, that there's still a tension in the NBA. I think of combat sports, right? My nephew is training to be an MMA fighter. And he was here not too long ago, and we were watching a fight, and he's breaking down the technique and on an individual basis that was like, I have no idea what the hell is going on, but it was cool as hell, right? Like, to your point of, you're not an NFL fan, but used to watch the show with Jaws, rest in peace, and the running back that used to really break things down. It's like, I could watch a show about woodworking, right? Like, if you're really getting into it, there's something fascinating about how do things work. And there have been a whole bunch of shows across spectrums, that are built on that. That I do think that there's still more that the people who cover the NBA can really, really get a lot out of that. That looks the same the way that it does in other sports.
Where do you think it goes from here? We'll end on this. Where, like, do you think? Because, you know, there's kind of this debate. Like, in my current position there at Odyssey, I have a glimpse behind the curtain that I haven't had elsewhere in my career, in that, like, I'm kind of seeing, like, some of the trends and what Odyssey, like, which directions Odyssey seems to think things are. I'm not going to say anything that I shouldn't hear, but like, I've gotten to see kind of like what Odyssey is, you know, starting to think is going to traffic well, and stuff like that. We have this, I think it's a bubble, but I could be wrong, but we have all of these, like, current players who have their podcasts and stuff like that. And the amount of resources being poured into those, I'm biased because of my own, anecdotal evidence here, but I'm always going to believe in the local podcasts that, you know, you're a fan would want to tune into because they want to hear just about their team and they want to hear about their team from an expert or somebody who cares about it more than the people that they would typically hear about it, you know, and all that stuff. So I'm always going to believe in that. I think that's where things are going, me personally, but where do you think things go from here?
No, I think that's very much the right track. You and I, and maybe just a little bit younger, but not much, are the last generation that really grew up with ESPN and sort of a smaller media world where all of us got our information from the same couple of spots. And so we're, even at our age, we're conditioned, we're used to sort of just turning on these shows as you, I don't know. When I used to get ready for school, I'd have ESPN on in the background and listening to what, and that's, it becomes part of your habit. It becomes part of your habit and all of that, that I think people younger than us just didn't grow up with that or too much younger than us, or didn't grow up with that as much. And it's going to be a matter of picking your favorite content creators on YouTube, on IG, on the different platforms that you're on TikTok. And so all of these spaces matter, right? And that's part of what's cool about it, is like, how does an individual combine with a platform and combine with a sport? You can have really dozens and dozens of different types of very successful people, I think, that are able to cover the league in a different type of way. So I think you're going to just continue to see an increase in that online space. And there's going to be a lot more just like platform specific type of creators, where they're big on TikTok. They try to snip it out into shorts on YouTube as well. But they kind of have like their own little lane, that I think there's just going to be more and more of that.
Yeah. I think corporations are going to struggle a little bit. I think independent content creation and independent content ownership, I think, is always going to be the kind of future from here on out. Mm-hmm. So to those who were just kind of starting out, that's always my advice, is start a show, mm-hmm. put your name on it, own it.
And do it. Like, there's no substitute for getting reps in, doing it. Like, follow what you love, because the only thing that can be special about it is how it reflects off of you, right? Like, what is it that you have to say that's different than what you and I have to say, or all of the other people but you really have to be true to yourself and pursue that in order to be successful. Very hard to copy someone else.
Yeah. The audience is going to learn really, really quickly if your heart isn't in it. You know, it's impossible to fake that. And we'll kind of see where that goes. We have one quick super comment here, which means we get to play the most important clip on the show. Fuck watching! Appetizers and sushi making me hungry again. Genie was failing before Braun and now has failed upwards with Luka. Ballmer has constantly invested in his stars and gives them a chance to compete. That's why the coverage has been different. Okay, so backstory here, Pete. While we've been talking, there has been a pretty extensive conversation within the chat about the coverage that the Lakers get and the coverage that the Clippers get. And this is a topic mm-hmm. that I talked about the other day in a mailbag episode. And one of the things that the Clippers have done is, I'm not going to go so far as to say that they've weaponized it, but they have practical applications of PR and people that they employ solely to get
improved
positive coverage and analysis out there. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is just what Lee does, but Lee Jenkins is one example of this. They hire other people who, like, if you go and you're credentialed to a game, they have people that just shoot the shit with you. And the entire point is to gather intel, see how people are talking about them, see if they can impact the way that people are talking about them, all of that stuff. And I think those efforts have been realized in a way where I do think, you know, the Clippers get a little bit friendlier coverage than maybe they should, given that they haven't accomplished anything. But the other thing that I would say, the other side of that coin, is that the Lakers don't participate in that basically at all. And one of the, you know, the golden rule of PR is, if you don't tell your story, you allow somebody else to tell it for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why idiots like me get to, you know, hop on here and say whatever I'm going to say about them. And they'll get angry at the way that I tell the story. And it's like, look, if you would have participated in the story before I told it, then we could have maybe, you know, come to a greater understanding of the story. And I would have told a version of it that would have maybe painted you in a better picture or put you in a better light. That's not necessarily how it's always going to go, but you give yourself a chance. What are your thoughts on the Lakers Clippers debate that's kind of going on within the chat?
Yeah. So that's certainly paradigm exists of the Clippers very much investing in getting a positive narrative and the Lakers. And while I was with the team, I promise you, I have mountains of text messages and emails, like paragraph upon paragraph, on why it is a bad idea to just ignore the right. And so this is something the Lakers are just starting to a little bit more actually reach out to people and be like, actually, no, this is a little different than how it got reported. And all of that. That said, their point that every year, the question says Ballmer is constantly invested in his stars and gives them a chance to compete, and that's why the coverage has been different. I think there's validity to this. I would say, though, that it's a strategic mistake, and what I mean by that is I think the right thing for the Clippers to do was actually blow it up. Instead of paying Harden, the Harden deal, the initial one, is really the first point where it was like, look, because their fundamental problem is they're building around stars that cannot hold up, and that constantly making, they've made a series of short-term moves that feel good for that year, but they don't control their draft from now through the end of the decade. They don't really have a championship ceiling with this year's team, and they like, they're built around the wrong stars in the first place. And so the Lakers, you can look at it this a couple of different ways. What the Lakers would tell you is that their prudence over the last few years has started to pay off. That rather than, it wasn't Lakers aren't going all in because they're cheap or anything like that. It's that they're like, no, we actually want to hold on to some of our assets and look toward the beyond the LeBron era. Now the pushback against that is like, you got LeBron and AD, let's go win a freaking title. But they have been more like, only if the right move is there type of thing. And that they feel that now they're entering an era where they got Luka, they've got clean books, they're in a way better position than the Clippers are going forward. And so, like, are the Clippers, like, do they deserve better coverage as a function of making those short-term, let's win 50 games every year, but sort of have a ceiling that's pretty decently below a championship caliber team and not the flexibility to get out of that? They're sort of stuck in a place for a while. That's my pushback against that. I want the Lakers to win championships. I want them to be able to compete. And I think that the position the Lakers in with Luka and clean books is just way better than the Clippers are in from a long-term perspective. Do they capitalize on that? I don't know, but yeah, that's sort of how I feel like that. I don't envy the Clippers' position.
Yeah. Like you said, once you invest in the wrong stars, it's over. You know, like once your starting point is Kawhi Leonard at this point in his career, there's nothing you can do. You know,
so do they deserve criticism for not pivoting?
Yeah, I think so. I would say so. You know, this is where you get into the business aspect of things. And look, the whole point of, being owned by a guy like Ballmer is so that you don't have to think about things from strictly a business perspective. But he just opened up that brand new arena and he didn't want to open it up without a star. Now, he had the wrong star, but it's still a star. Kawhi is a star when he's playing right. He's just never playing right. And then Harden's been a fraud his whole career. So I don't really know what to say there, but like it's the Harden thing was a talent add, right? Like you and I talked about Nikola Vucevic couple weeks ago. And, you know, the point being that like you are pretty, you know, dogmatic about, I want a backup center who can defend. And it's like, yeah, but also this guy is really talented, you know? So with Harden, it's like, I'm pretty dogmatic against wanting to employ a James Harden. But if he was the only star or star, you know, star adjacent player that I could get, then do you think of things a little bit differently, you know? So, I think they're in a tough spot. I guess when we talk about like the Luka thing and prudence over the last few years, it's like, it just depends on when they found out they had a chance at getting Luka, you know, if they found out a couple of years ago that they had a chance at it, and they were prudent as a result of hearing about that chance, then okay, I'm willing to hear it. But if you basically, you know, wrote out the last chapter of the LeBron AD era, for the mere chance that maybe you get a Luka, maybe sometime soon. I don't know. They got him, so that's all that really matters. I guess just for the sake of the conversation of like prudence and patience versus, I think taking those guys for granted is the other side of the coin, right? Those are the two ends of the spectrum. The truth, as always, sits somewhere in the middle there. But, and again, solid doesn't sell, but, the truth sits there somewhere in the middle there. And, you know, I have a hard time. I just really liked that combination, the LeBron AD era. I really liked the identity that they played with in the 1920 championship. And I thought that they were capable of recreating that if they had just made a couple of different moves. And they finally got there before the Luka trade, not saying I wouldn't have made the Luka trade, but we started to see that again. Max was starting and they brought in Dorian, and it's like, all right, this is kind of what I recall. This is what this, you know, those old feelings are coming back again.
Yeah.
And I wish that they could have gotten there a little bit sooner than they did.
They needed to, if they were going to win another title with LeBron and AD, but you know, we all know the story of how they did.
Yeah. All right, man, I've taken up too much of your time as always. But thank you very much for hopping on. Thank you to always everybody fun. Who have tuned in. This has been a fun one. This has been a super kind of, you know, in the weeds conversation and stuff like that. But I think it's the kind of stuff that people really care about. The, chat would indicate that our instincts were right there. But Pete, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, just that this ongoing conversation about media literacy and the information that we all intake, it's one of the most important conversations that we can have, even beyond sports right now.
Oh, just absolutely.
The information that we all operate off of is one of our most important resources. And so just continuing to talk to each other about it and to discuss ways that we can just sort of see things with clearer eyes in a very polluted environment. I think, and again, I don't want it to be a finger wagging, you know, this person's bad, that person's evil. If only they were gone, this would be better. It's not that sort of thing, but just, I just want to say this is a super important thing. I'm going to be starting a pod that's very much built around, this is one of the central themes soon. So really glad. I'm always, always happy to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, I'm excited about that project, and yeah, agree 1,000,000% that there is a lot of money in tearing us apart, and it's the most cynical thing I think of you know, most cynical development of my lifetime is how much money is spent on just making sure that half of the country hates the other half of the country, and nobody benefits from it. So yeah, all right. On that note, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. I will be back with you guys again on Sunday to record the typical Sunday mailbag. So get your questions in the form of a 5-star review to iTunes or hit me in the Discord mailbag area. You can follow Pete, as you can see there, at Laker Film Room, at Anthony Irwin LA. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and we will talk to you again on Sunday. Thanks, Pete.
Bye, everyone.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.